JRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. This is Remix Tape. Okay, I'm trying to, here we go. So, okay, we are doing a special show today about Crooked Rain, Crooked Rain, because it's the 25th anniversary of its release. This is the kind of mainstream album that Pavement released. What was 25 years ago?
1994.
Talking to the mic.
Sorry. 1994. This is their breakthrough album.
Yeah.
It was released Valentine's Day, 1994.
Oh, yeah. It was Valentine's Day. So we're just going to do a show based on that, and maybe we'll play stuff out of order, maybe not. Since it's a mix, I feel like it should be a mixtape.
Yeah. When did you first hear Crooked Rain, Crooked Rain?
Not that long ago. I'm a lot newer to Pavement. This is like two generations of Pavement fans in a lot of ways. One person who was, you know, probably at a radio station into Pavement.
Absolutely.
And then another person who was young and didn't yet know of Pavement.
Well, you were what, like 9 years old?
I was a young person at the time. 1994 was a big year in a lot of ways for music, in good ways and bad ways. It was recently Kurt Cobain's birthday, for example. But I mean, Chris knows a lot more about Pavement. Chris has seen Pavement live multiple times. has been listening to Pavement for longer, and I'm new but have my own, I don't know, attraction to the band.
They're definitely a Gen X band.
Yes.
And I think, you know, the this album in particular and the song Gold Sounds, which we'll play at some point, I think Pitchfork voted it the best song of the 1990s. And Robert Christgau of The Village Voice also named Pavement the best band of the 90s. So this is sort of a zeitgeist for that period of indie music.
Mm-hmm. It's, well, why don't we play some more music and we can talk more about it. Should we play Gold Sounds or should we play some other stuff
first? Let's play the first single, Cut Your Hair.
Right. I think that's track 4.
Yep. I think so.
Sorry. We have a vinyl edition and we have Chris's deluxe edition of, it's a re-release of Crooked Rain, Crooked Rain. But yeah, track 4. So let's hear Cut Your Hair. Maybe we'll hear another one after that and then we'll be back to talk about some more Pavement stuff.
Let's just play Cut Your Hair and then talk about it.
Okay. Let's do that. Okay.
There's a lot to say.
There's a lot to say.
Okay.
Okay. Here is Cut Your Hair off of Crooked Rain, Crooked Rain by Pavement. Okay, we're back. That was Cut Your Hair, the 4th track off of Crooked Rain, Crooked Rain.
First single. I don't think I'm on.
Oh, sorry. I didn't turn our guest on.
Thank you.
Now he's on. That wasn't planned. No, I'm just kidding.
First single.
So what did you want to say about this? Did you want to go back to when it was released as a single?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just to backtrack my own personal experience, I didn't actually hear the album until several months after it was released because I was in college at the time and I took a semester off to hike the Appalachian Trail. So I was like backpacking for 6 months. And so I didn't hear it till the fall of 94. And so the, you know, I sort of missed like the furor around the album, but that was the first single. And I mean, for obvious reasons, it's very poppy and it kind of recalls the Beach Boys with its, you know, chorus that has, you know, multiple voices. And I think the main thing about, there are two things about that song. First, it got a lot of play on MTV. There was a video
for
it. They
did a video. It's kind of a cute video.
Yeah. And there was also, gosh, this is where I'm having like a senior moment. There was the possibility of Pavement appearing on television on Beverly Hills 90210 because of the song.
Oh my gosh.
I think that's the show. I could be wrong, but it was a show like
that era, yeah.
It was sort of like the I don't want to say the OC because I think that was a little later.
That was later.
That was late 90s. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it was hugely popular, got a lot of play, and for good reason. I think beyond the sort of Beach Boys reference too, I think what's important about the song is that it also captured two other things. First, the kind of mood of the album, that is to say that Crooked Rain was about Pavement sort of confronting its success and the sort of transition from being, you know, a critical favorite to something more mainstream.
And yeah, so this song is, I always think of it as Pavement Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah. But in a very ironic way. I mean, it wasn't...
Yeah,
I mean, I
think they're both ironic songs.
Well, yeah, yeah. But I mean, I think Nirvana's irony still comes with an edge.
Well, for sure. Well, stylistically, it's night and day.
Whereas this is much more insouciant or, you know, something like that. But the other point that I was going to make, too, is that I think this song and the album more generally sort of captured what people have called the Pavement sound. That is to say, this sort of guitar heavy album and song, that the production quality is slightly oversaturated and it just has a rough saturated quality to it. That's still melodic. That's not, you know, heavy in the way grunge was, but more poppy and even experimental in spots on this album, but not so much the song.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
I don't think you're listening to me.
I am listening. No, I mean, I guess I can add to what you're saying. The guitar and Pavement. Malkmus is a sort of indie guitar god kind of guy. What I like about Pavement, not just this album, but other albums they've done, is that they're really in dialogue with earlier eras of rock music. And
there's definitely a 70s quality.
There's a real 70s quality. You can tell they were really into Steely Dan. In fact, I think I've heard, you know, Malkmus gets interviewed a lot. It's kind of a cool resource for anyone who's interested in his influences because he sort of discloses them pretty openly. But, you know that they grew up listening to what their parents were listening to and Steely Dan and, like, all kinds of other, like, prog rock, you know, which I guess we look down upon, but it was the moment when rock and pop were coming together and not all of it was the worst of the worst. So Pavement is the kind of product of that. I like that feeling of history and continuity in the band.
It should be said too that like their preceding album, Slanted and Enchanted, was definitely
which I think is different. Really I much prefer it actually to Crooked Rain. Crooked Rain, it's so much cooler and it just it's,
let's go play that album.
Yeah, let's just do that. Let's just celebrate that anniversary.
But it's the 27th anniversary.
Yeah. Maybe some other
But just
time.
A quick thing about that album. I mean, it's very different melodically, tonally, atmospherically. It's the, I mean, it's a cliche at this point, but Slanted and Enchanted is very much influenced by The Fall and Marky Smith and, you know, albums like Hex Induction Hour. And if you listen to those albums by The Fall, I mean, it sounds like, you know, it, there's a strong resemblance with Pavement. So, you know, in effect, I think that Pavement was, you know, making a decisive turn away from that, that first album and trying to do something else. And to their great credit, a lot of Pavement albums, you know, sound unique. They sound different from the preceding recording. And, this album to me is by far their most pop album. And I think that's why it, it stands the test of time and also why maybe, you know, some people critique it because it's not as experimental or interesting.
Yeah. And I don't mean to say Slanted and Enchanted is better because it's more experimental. I just kind of like the sound of it more. I find it kind of gives me more the more I listen to it because it is intricate in a lot of places and experimenting with a lot of new stuff and new melodies. And here, the pop element, I guess, I still like listening again to this album, but it maybe it's a bit more automatic.
Well, this is also, I mean, if Slanted and Enchanted is more post-punk in orientation, this album is very, it's like their Americana album. It has a lot of, not just the Beach Boys, but like the country rock of Range Life.
Yeah, like Range Life. I was going to suggest we play that. I was going to suggest we play Gold Sounds next, actually. Okay. And I'd like to play it from the vinyl version of the album that I have here, just to mix things up and to acknowledge that to remix things up and to acknowledge that in an era, as I'm getting on my horse, I'm mounting my horse right now. in an era of streaming, we can still play the sort of actual
archaic
format. These like archaic, dusty, you know, versions of music, which are actually popular now. So it's not even that cool. So anyway, let's hear Gold Sounds, and then I'd like to play Range Life right after that. And then we'll be back to talk more about Pavement and maybe sample from the deluxe edition. I think it'd be nice to hear some
outtakes
from the album. Okay, so here's some more Pavement and we'll be back. This is Remix Tape.
And keep my advent to yourself, because it's nothing I don't like. Is it a crisis or a boring change when it's central, so essential? It has a nice ring when you laugh at the low-life opinions, and they're coming to the chorus now. I keep my address to yourself. When they rise up in the falling rain, and if you stay around with your knowledge.
stage, the set of talk becomes slow, but there's one thing I'll never forget. Hey, you gotta pay your dues before you pay the rent. Over the turnstiles and out in the traffic, there's ways to live and it's the way I'm living. Right or wrong, it's all that I can do.
Okay, so you just heard a couple of songs from the B-side of Crooked Rain, Crooked Rain. Gold Sounds, and then we skipped a track, and then we played Range Life. And I also censored Range Life because we are professionals, and it's against the law to have swears.
But what was that? What were they singing about?
They were singing, they were trashing other bands. They were trashing Smashing Pumpkins.
Which should be trashed.
And that, yeah, I mean, that is like a rabbit hole that we all love to go down from time to time. By the way, there's a recent review of one of their albums on Pitchfork that I enjoyed immensely.
Smashing Pumpkins?
It was a burn, that review.
Yeah. That was a few months ago, though.
It was a few months ago, but it was memorable. I'm just mentioning it in case you...
Smashing Pumpkins is a band that people love to hate because
it's true. Maybe it's lame to be trashing them so much, and they're so committed. So it kind of makes me like them because they know how bad they are. They just keep doing it.
Well, it's like
you can't stop Billy Corgan and his weird trench coat.
The trouble
situation.
Okay, I'll say this: there are a few songs by Smashing Pumpkins that I like 1979 and Cherub Rock, and there's one other that I can't remember the name, but I think the trouble with, I mean, in fact, this is a good way of talking about Pavement, like Billy Corgan and Smashing Pumpkins. I mean, first of all, he, you know, was reached a point where he was issuing like double and triple albums. you know what I mean?
It's like, please, like, dude,
you need an editor. You know, we don't need these, you know, musical tomes.
Amen.
And yeah, I mean, he just came across as an egomaniac. And so Pavement, in contrast, I think, you know, their ethos was much more, I don't want to say less ambitious, but they were more, certainly more self-aware of the, you know, the risks of grandiosity and music and so forth. And so, you know, apply to self-consciousness. In fact, the one, you know, verse in Gold Sounds regards the, and now we're coming to the chorus now. You know, there's a kind of self-consciousness in Malkmus, Steve Malkmus, the lead singer and guitarist, his lyrics. And so anyway, I think that what, if there was a path that Pavement was trying to carve and pursue during the 1990s, it was just, you know, one that sort of recognized the limits of music as a, you know, as an artistic form, and, you know, taking success with a grain of salt and not, you know, becoming one of these, you know, sort of bloated prog rock bands, which is actually another aspect of the 70s, that, to go back to that earlier theme.
Not that, sorry, I was reading a little bit about the deluxe edition we're about to play off of, so hopefully you didn't mention this, but
no.
Not that, you know, Malkmus and his various projects don't also kind of relate to the same situation of someone producing a lot of music. I mean, for instance, in a couple of months, I believe, or maybe a month and a half or so, Malkmus is going to release this unusual electronic album, and I played... Actually, a song that he made a video for last time I did the show. So he is doing a lot of stuff.
Well, there are two critiques to be made.
I just want to say that maybe he does too much. I mean, this electronic album is cool, but it's also, who knows what to make of it. And he also doesn't seem to be extra serious about it, and he's not serious about much.
Yeah, there are two critiques to be made about him. First of all, yeah, I mean, he has been extremely productive. I mean, he's produced, I don't know what the count is now, maybe 14 albums, something like that, if you include Pavement, if you include...
That was more than that.
Side projects like...
I think it's more than that.
The Cross Brothers. We should play something from that.
I think it's more than that, because if you include...
I can't count above 14, so I'm just going to stick with 14.
Okay. That's one. That's scientific right there.
Sorry.
It's okay. No judgment.
He's only 14 years old.
It's absurd.
As am I.
Everyone here is 14. Speaking of 14 and other numbers that appear before 4. I wanted to segue to this deluxe album that we're going to play some songs off of now. So the full title of it is Crooked Rain, Crooked Rain, : LA's Desert Origins.
It should be...
It was released in the fall of 2004.
Ten years.
Obviously, that's like a 10-year anniversary, right, after the original release of Crooked Rain, Crooked Rain. So you brought in... This is your physical copy of the CD. Yeah. Do you want to take us back to the situation? Did you buy this after? Did you buy it...
Well, obviously, I bought it after. Bought it after what?
I mean, did you buy it when it came out?
Two CDs.
Did you buy it when it came out?
Yeah.
Because it was a re-release, or did you buy it later because you were just browsing later. Or something?
Yeah. I mean, I went through a heavy Pavement phase during the 90s, and I last saw them in 1999 in Portland, Oregon at the Crystal Ballroom. It was like right before they broke up, and it was a pretty... I don't want to say a depressing show, but you knew that something was wrong. Like, Stephen Malkmus wasn't talking to Scott Canberg, the other co-founder. There was just kind of a mood that suggested the band was not going to last much longer, and there were rumors about this, and yeah, like, less than a year later, they broke up. So, you know, at that point, too, I was... you know, just into other things and stop listening to Pavement. So I bought this album maybe, gosh, in 2009, 2010. And one of the great things about Pavement, they've kept a lot of their recordings. So there are a lot of B-sides and live recordings and stuff like that, that they've reissued. And, certainly Pavement's popular today.
There's some cool covers they've done too. I remember you sent me one of Echo and the Bunnymen that I really liked.
Yeah, Killing Moon. They've done a good cover of Camera by REM, which is actually, I think, in some ways better than the original. There was one other thing I was going to say though about the title Crooked Rain, Crooked Rain actually comes from David Berman, who was a classmate of Malkmus's of Virginia. And to make a long story short, Berman, Malkmus, and Bob Nastanovich, the second drummer for Pavement, founded this other great band called Silver Jews, who I understand are also coming out with an album this spring or summer. And I saw the Silver Jews in 2009. So the point being just that there's this...
It'd be cool if they tour that album. I'd like to see them.
Do what?
That'd be cool if they tour that new album.
David Berman and Steve Malkmus are quite close. Crooked Rain, Crooked Rain comes from David Berman. It should be said, too, that, you know, three of Pavement's albums they rhyme. So you have Slanted and Enchanted, Crooked Rain, Crooked Rain, and Wowie Zowie. Whatever the meaning of that is.
Crooked Rain, Crooked Rain is a rhyme, it's a rhyme, but it's also just a repetition. It's a little different.
Repetition to make...
Excuse me as I make a comment as a poetry scholar. Right. I just adjusted my glasses when I said that.
What's that voice?
It's me pretending to be a scholar. We need to play more music, though, because we're coming towards the end. Chris has another story. Again. Story time. We need to play more music. Sorry. This is a radio show. So let's hear, we're going to be hearing two, these are songs. Outtakes? Well, yeah, these are outtakes considered for this album, but they didn't end up on this album. These are outtakes from the second disc of this 2004 deluxe edition of Crooked Rain, Crooked Rain.
I particularly like the second song.
Okay.
For what it's worth.
Okay. So we're going to play these now, and then we'll be back to talk and wrap up and maybe have time to play another song in conclusion. All right. Okay, we're back. You just heard All My Friends.
Hello. Am I back?
You're back as well.
Hello.
All right, as I was saying.
Trick or treat.
You just heard All My Friends.
I can't hear myself. That's why I'm asking.
Okay, let me. Is that better? Talk.
Yes.
All right. Sorry. We've solved one problem. Now. We just heard All My Friends.
Yeah.
From the deluxe edition of.
And So Had Little Philly.
And So Had Little Philly, which directly follows on that album. Yeah. We listened to that from the CD version, just to clarify. Yeah. Pavement is just an awesome band. I don't know what. I don't know what you guys want. I'm just kidding. I'm not familiar with the deluxe edition, so I haven't heard those songs before. Selected those to play.
Yeah, I mean, those are just, I don't know, they're the first two tracks off the second CD. They're just sort of exemplary of the kind of B-side material they have. I mean, those are great songs to me. I think that it shows that they had a lot of material and, you know, it's all of a high standard. The second song, So the Little Philly, is also a good example of how sometimes the songs are really brief. So, you know, it's like an idea that for whatever reason they don't finish and the song just kind of ends. But again, I think that kind of fits into the Pavement ethos of, you know, just experimenting with different sounds and melodies and, you know, putting things together. And it's okay to have a fragment. It doesn't have to be, you know, a fully completed song or anything like that. So.
I just wanted to add.
You're reading a lot during the show. You're just reading.
Well,
and reading.
I'm looking at the album art, which is absolutely phenomenal. This album art. Yeah. I was looking at this central image, which is a woman with very long nails, and she's got big, kind of like chunky rings on every finger.
Turquoise
rings. And right below it, it says luck on every finger. And I just want to say that on my way to the studio today, I found a big chunky ring on the ground of a butterfly that was also of a blue color. And I put it on my hand as I walked. So maybe it was, I don't know, it was a sort of sign of everything coming together, luck on every finger.
It should be said that, you know, in addition to the sound of the fall, that the cover art on this album, Enslanted and Enchanted, is also very fall.
It's just off, out of control, like, crazy, you guys.
Well, it's just collage.
It's just so good. Well, I love
it. For it.
I know it's collage. Jeez. We're doing really well today. So.
Sorry.
I think, no, the reason why I keep looking at it and, you know, marveling at it is I love this kind of style. And this is how bands used to do stuff when they were releasing their own music. They would just make their own posters, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
most, many of the poster art, examples of the poster art from the 90s and like for the 80s, these kinds of bands, so cool.
This is what you don't
there should
have.
There should be an exhibit
with
about
downloadable
it.
Singles. Album it's art
true.
Has suffered.
You don't have album art of the same of the same quality. Not to say that people don't still come out with really cool work, right? It's just this is just something special. So I invite you to go online and try to look at images of it. It's just it keeps on giving.
I just want to say one other thing about this too.
Mm-hmm.
The on this sleeve, which is also which was part of the inside of the CD, and being a Gen Xer, CDs are important. There's a are you seeing it?
I'm seeing it.
It's like you get to complete a sentence with a series of options A, B, C. Actually, they don't even have a C and a D,
they don't have a C and a D,
but it's I'm in a rock brigade. Option A. I'm in a rock cavalry. Option B.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a rock desert. I'm in a rock shop. I'm in a rock opera.
So which would you choose?
Opera. F.
Classic Leo response.
Classically what?
I said classic Leo response.
Oh.
I would choose cavalry because I like horses.
What is a cavalry?
Also, if you want to write to Pavement, you can write to them at 9361 Cole Drive, Stockton, California, 95212, USA.
That raises another aspect of Pavement, how they're very bi-coastal.
Mm.
Like, they were started in Stockton, which is like this. Which is like this middle of nowhere town in California. A commuter
Jeez,
town.
Don't say that.
A commuter town to the Bay Area. It is.
All right. But don't say middle of nowhere town. It's not even accurate. In any case.
How do you know?
Like I've never been to California? Like California. I've never been to Stockton?
You've been to Stockton?
Yeah, that's where my great-grandmother lived. Shout out to Laura. What a sweetheart. Rest in peace. So
this is a secret history you've been keeping.
All right, we need to finish
okay, wait,
up today.
Let me finish.
No, we really need to. Okay, but then
okay,
we're going to play.
Thing, the bi-coastal aspect, right. Just to say this album was recorded in New York City on borrowed equipment in a recording studio that was like four floors up in Midtown Manhattan. So it also has that sort of strange pedigree of being a New York album, but a California band, which I think also is a contributing set of factors for special quality of the album.
Mm. That is cool about them. It's unique about them. We're going to hear, to close out, first of all, thanks for listening to our show today on, you know, I guess remembering Crooked Rain, in our own particular way. We are going to finish playing the final song off the album, which is called Fillmore Jive. Next week, we'll be back with another mix, TBD. So thanks for listening. Was there anything else you needed to say?
No, thank you.
Okay, so here's Fillmore Jive, and we'll see you next time. You're listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Eastern Pennsylvania.
Play it loud.
I'd like to invite you to dress. It's a special one, it's made of gold.
Yeah.
when